direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
It is absolutely fascinating to think about and to ask, what does Christ really think about His church? You ever thought about that? What does He think about your church? What does He see going on in your church? What does He think about the things that are happening in the spirit and the life and the heart of your church? Well, that's what we're studying here in Revelation chapter 2 with the church here in Ephesus. And yesterday, we began to unpack this, some of the commendation that he gives to this church. This church sat in a very prosperous Roman idolatrous city. And there was a lot going on in this city by way of idolatry, a lot of pressures and a lot of things happening. And so in Revelation chapter 2, Christ has three areas that he commends this church for doing really well. Listen to verse 2. I know your works, your labor, and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and not become weary. This is the strongest commendation that I come across. I would be the happiest pastor if somebody said this about the Linden URC, you know, that you guys are that strong in your convictions, right? I mean, that's if the Lord came down and said that, I would be thrilled. Did you catch the first area Christ commends? Their works. They labored for his name. They didn't stop as a church. This was one busy church. Everyone was involved. Think about it. The poor were probably being cared for. The youth were being taught. Members were serving one another. There was a lot of involvement in this church. In some sense, what you're getting here is that the reputation of this church in Ephesus was amazing. All the churches knew that the church in Ephesus was budding with involvement. I've seen churches where you can't get anyone to do anything. It is an absolutely miserable place. That's not Ephesus. They break the 80-20 rule, you know, that in a given church, only 10 to 20% do all the work, while the rest just sit, not Ephesus. Industrious church, meals probably taken to members, visits happening in the whole body. And the amazing thing is that they were not weary in this. That's what Christ observes. This wasn't just superficial service. They kept it going. They were in it for the long haul. The building was soiled because it was getting used. I see all of this, says Christ. Then let me just say as a side note, this really pleases him more than we have any idea. When every member does its share, when everyone's involved, when the church is being built up, when people are using their gifts, encouraging one another, serving one another, and not complaining. And we need to individually ask, you know, what am I doing? How am I active in my local church? If you're not an active, living member doing your part with the gift God has given to you, how are you not like the wicked and lazy servant who buried his talent in the ground? I don't want to bury my talent. What a church when this happens. Now, let's go further. What then does Christ say here? Verse 2. I know that you cannot bear those who are evil. This church was not growing weary in exposing lifestyles and ways of living that were ungodly and directly in conflict with Scripture. You know how hard that was in that environment? I was reading an historical study on the city of Ephesus, and it was fascinating what I came across. Did you know what happened in Ephesus? These temples, these pagan temples to the Roman goddesses, this temple to Diana of the Ephesians, became asylums that people who were committing awful sins, terrible things in society, people doing these wicked things, they would run to the temple as a place of refuge to be freed from suffering the consequences of it. One of the last temples of asylum was the temple of Artemis in Ephesus. in the temple was the goddess of Diana. And what sat right under this large palm tree, right there before that, was a cult statue. You know what was happening? Those committing wicked crimes would flee to the tree and altar, and they would be beyond the consequences of the law. What do you think began to develop in the mindsets of the people? You were incrementally lowering the standards of morality through the removal of consequence. Everything was being tolerated under the sun. Any of this sound familiar, by the way? When the courts will not administer justice and consequences for sins are removed, consequences for wicked behavior and lawless behavior, you produce a society that becomes lawless. Now here's this church. Christ says, I commend you. You cannot bear, you cannot endure that kind of behavior, which was telling them that Christ was on their side in this. This church was unwavering in condemning the behaviors that God's word condemned. They were, now listen, this is so important today. They were an intolerant church in a tolerant culture. And here lies one of the greatest compromises, dear listener, of the church today. Do you know increasingly how increasingly difficult it is to maintain the standard of the Bible? And I'm not talking just in the world, even in the Christian culture. How well does the church do today with something like this? Ready? 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. My question is this: are we really bold anymore to say that? Dear son, dear daughter, you're living in drunkenness. If you practice living in adultery, if you practice fornication, if you practice having sex outside of marriage, if you practice homosexuality, you are not a Christian and you will not go to heaven. You ever hear that message anymore? I think if we're honest, you're going to confess, even in your churches, that is absent. If you're living in these things, we're not talking about repenting and turning after the struggle. We give the message, we want you to repent because we love you. Don't do those things. They violate God's law. How received is someone who believes that today? How received is the church anymore? Maybe even in Linden. You know, how received is a church who believes those things? We have enough history of this conviction not to be shocked by it, but do you hear it anymore? The pressure is to be silent. And oh, it's such a great pressure. And we, by and large, are not affecting the culture today, right? Now, here's the thing. The church in Ephesus? No way. They didn't endure those behaviors at all. They stood against them. They were strong in condemning them. And the Lord says, I'm with you on that. I commend you for that. You know, Jesus commends us condemning those kind of behaviors as the church. We need to. We have to. That's our calling. And then comes the big one. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Verse 6. And this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Wow. This church did the hard job of testing the spirits to see whether they be of God. As one pastor said, they possessed the rare gift of discernment. They were discriminating, their orthodoxy unimpaired. They were not so stupid as to suppose that Christian charity can tolerate false apostles. Get that? This pastor says it right. Love embraces neither error nor evil. Isn't it amazing that Christ looks out at this group called the Nicolaitans? If they existed today on the church sign, their name would be the Nicolaitan Christian Church, right? If I wrote a review of the practices of the Nicolaitan Christian Church, After serious reflection on their views of worship and the holiness of God and their wrong tolerance of things that God's word condemns, and I exposed the Nicolaitan Christian Church, how would that be received in our Christian culture? I would be labeled as a schismatic, unloving, and condemning. And yet here's the thing. While there's nothing but a push in our culture to accept everything, our church culture, it does not change the truth that Christ hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. This is so vital for us, isn't it? It wasn't that Ephesus just willy-nilly condemned the Nicolaitans. They did what Christ called them to do. They searched the scriptures, they studied, they tested what they were hearing and what they were being exposed to. And the church did the very real and rare thing of exposing error. You know, that's the calling of the church. We don't think about this today. That we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. They were contenders. And they were with Jesus against these pseudo groups, these false groups that claimed to be Christians, but whose practices were directly against the word of God. And let's be really clear. It's not that the practices of some churches that are named Christian are unclear as to whether they are wrong. The problem's not that. The Holy Spirit has promised to make it clear. The problem is the unwillingness of people to care enough about Christ's truth and love enough to take a stand. It would have been really hard if a loved one was attending the Nicolaitan Christian Church to say something, but you know what? These Ephesians, they did their job. They did their job. And today, dear listener, we are called to do the same. To test, to see what's happening, to speak against false practices. And I know everyone today says, just accept it all. We have to be willing to do that, even when the pressures are great, to be silent. I'm really liking this church, you know? I'm thinking that if I'd outwardly pick where I'm going to be involved and where I'm going to go, I'm moving to Ephesus. This is my church, you know? This is a pillar of orthodoxy, my kind of pastor. Here's the shocker of it all today. The church which worked hard, would not accept bad behaviors, would not tolerate false doctrine. The church that did all these wonderful things was not what it seemed to be. Christ now levels his accusation. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The wind is taken out of our sail, isn't it? In all their fighting for the truth, in all of their business of work and everything they're doing to contend, something was going awfully wrong. We're going to look at tomorrow what it is to leave your first love as a church. But let me say this, just to prepare us. Everything has to be focused on advancing the mission and the name of Jesus Christ and his gospel to the nations in a caring, loving, pursuing way, because we want no one to perish in their sins. There must be a missionary zeal to the church to make known Christ and the riches of the gospel and the demonstration of the Spirit and power so that sinners would be saved. Let that always be our mission and purpose. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.